If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. As we mentioned this morning, as we start a new year, and many of us will have different commitments that we hope to keep and areas in life that we hope to grow in. And if you're walking with the Lord, then your spiritual growth will be part of that priority. And so I want to, hopefully, as we look at John chapter 15 this morning, I want to encourage you in that and maybe give you some helps in that as we seek to understand how to grow and what all is involved in that. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." And so we're thinking this morning about growth, about abiding in Christ. And so we want to just begin by noticing the illustration that Jesus gives when it comes to growth, when it comes to our growth. The very obvious repeated theme here is that Jesus Christ is the vine and that we must abide in him. So the way this is set up from a word picture standpoint is that Jesus Christ is the vine, that we are the branch, and the Father is the vine dresser. Christ is the vine, you're the branch, or we're the branch. The Father is the vine dresser. And after we've clarified that, we still have to ask, what in the world does that mean, right? What do we do with that information? Well, how do we apply that to spiritual growth? And so what does it mean that Christ is the vine? Well, for Christ to be the vine means that Christ is the source of life through which every branch will receive nourishment. Okay, now that's going to be an important thing for us to keep in mind in several different aspects. If we want to grow, if our goal is to grow from a spiritual standpoint, then we need to be reminded again and again and again and again what Brother Greg mentioned this morning, and that is that any sort of growth that we will ever experience will never occur simply through self-effort. It will never occur simply because you try hard enough. Now, we've talked in the past before, and in the message today, we'll talk about the fact that there is a joint participation. It's not that you're passive in growth. But you know, there are times where we can get the cart before the horse, and there are times where people who have spiritual, maybe feel like they have some spiritual understandings or even some spiritual ambitions. Maybe your goal this year is to grow spiritually, but you've never ever professed faith in Christ. And I'm going to tell you that you cannot grow outside of being attached to the life source by which any spiritual growth occurs. So whenever we think about what it means for the church and our obligations, as far as what Christ has given us to do, we've said this several times before, but the obligations of the church, the goals of the church, the task would be evangelism and discipleship, and we dare not get those two mixed up. You can't start discipling an unbeliever because there's nothing there. We have nothing to work with. We might be able to rearrange the flesh, but after you've rearranged the flesh and made it look as pretty as you can possibly make it, it's still disgusting in God's sight. And so when we think about what it means to grow, first and foremost, we have to not just understand or realize, but we have to be committed to this, getting the horse and the cart in the right order. And that is outside of a commitment to a living relationship with Jesus Christ, there is no growth because there is no life. Christ says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And so until you have committed yourself to following Jesus Christ, your quest for growth ends right there. It has to. There's no other way to move forward. And so, while this is early on in the message, I just have to say it if we're going to be faithful to what Scripture has to say. If your desire is to grow spiritually, to grow in Christ this year, and you have not yet made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you're not yet ready to publicly follow Jesus Christ, then the first thing you have to wrestle with is, what is it that's holding you back from following Christ? Because until you wrestle with that and answer that and deal with that, there will be no spiritual growth in your life. It just can't happen that way. And so Christ is the true vine. He is the life source that we look to for nourishment, for life, strength, and all of those things. Then we read, the Father is the husbandman at the end of verse 1. That is, He's the vine dresser. He is caring for the branches. He is cleansing, purifying, nurturing, pruning them in order that they might produce fruit. And then, in the picture here, we are the branch. We're the branch. You know this just if you've ever done yard work. If you've ever been around a place, if you've ever worked up at camp, or if you've ever been around a place that had limbs, you know that as soon as a limb or a branch is separated from its tree, that's it. Right? It begins to dry up, to shrivel up. It begins to decompose, because there's absolutely no way for growth to occur outside of its life source. And so when we put all this together and we try to think about from these three different aspects, what does spiritual growth consist of? What does it mean? What does it take to be fruitful according to Jesus Christ? Then we learn that fruit is produced in the life of a Christian as the vine dresser, okay, that's the Father, as the vine dresser nourishes the branch, that's the disciple, through the vine, that's Christ and His Word. Okay, all three have to be going at the same time. The vine dresser is nourishing the branch as the branch is in the vine. Now, we're going to move out of illustrations here in a minute, and maybe it'll be, hopefully it'll be helpful as we do that. The first thing that we want to mention as we think about this whole illustration is that Christ is illustrating the nature of His relationship with every believer. And if we don't understand the nature of our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to grow. One of the things that becomes clear from the text is that we are in a relationship that consists of us being disciples and Christ being our teacher. or our master. And so if we approach our relationship with Jesus Christ in any other categories, it's going to be very difficult for us to grow. If we think about what sometimes the world of Christianity throws out is the nature of our relationship with Jesus Christ, many times the world will speak in categories that have to do with anything and everything besides this reality that our primary position in Christ as it relates to us growing is that of a follower. We are following Him. He is leading us. There are times where people can talk about the nature of our relationship and cultural ideas as if what we have with Jesus is the equivalent to some sort of a spiritual hangout. So that we do whatever we want to do and Jesus is just eager to tag along, and that's the way the relationship works. And if we let pop culture really determine how we think about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, then really the script ends up being flipped. Rather than Jesus saying, "Follow me," to us, then we're the ones saying, "Follow me" to Him. Right? You come and you tag along with me, Jesus. You do what I want to do, Jesus. You walk with me. You accept what I find acceptable. You endorse what I would love for you to endorse. And while we may not think about it always in those kinds of terms, the worldly idea of what it means for us to have fellowship with Christ in a lot of ways, in the shallow ways anyway, are just that. I do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I just trust that Christ is going to bless it and that Christ is going to produce growth out of that. But that's just not the case. As we think about what it means to be a learner, to be a disciple, look in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, it says in verse 14, it says, "As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and he followed him." It's a phrase you're going to be familiar with, obviously. It's not a shock that Christ tells his followers to follow him, but if we understand the word that's used there in the Greek, it doesn't just mean follow me from a standpoint of I'm going to walk ahead and you walk behind, and wherever I go, you need to go. If we were to really get the fullness of this word, the word or the phrase actually means follow with me. If you were to do a word picture here, the word picture would be more along the lines of us walking side by side with Christ, holding His hand, and where He goes, we're going with Him because we're being led by Him. We're doing really nothing in our own strength, but we are walking together with Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. Mark chapter 10, verse 1, gives us this little glimpse into the way Christ interacted with His people. It says, "He arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort to Him again, and as He was wont, He taught them again." The little phrase we're after here is, "as He was wont, He taught them again." You know what that tells us about Jesus? The little "as He was wont" just means as was His custom. This is something that He regularly did. This was a practice that he made. This was a regular way that he interacted with his people. As he was wont, he taught them again. How is it that we are going to walk with Jesus? Well, brothers and sisters, the way we're going to do that is as we are being taught by him. Okay, and how is that going to happen? Well, we could think about the different avenues with which we receive Christ's teaching. Okay, if we're thinking about growth, and some of these things are going to be obvious, but they have to be said. If we're going to think about growth in 2021, there are a few things that are just a given. Okay, number one, and this is not a priority order, it's just things that have to be present. Number one, if you're going to grow, you're going to have a consistent commitment to being in God's house when the doors are open. Okay? God means to use, among other things as we gather together, God means to use the teaching, the regular teaching and preaching of His Word to grow you in your walk with Him. Now, there's an element of humility that we're going to have to come to grips with. And that's this. If Christ is the teacher, and what it means for us to grow in Him, in a big way, is synonymous with this reality that we are a learner, then what does that tell us about ourselves? We don't know everything, right? Not just that, but if we look at the whole concept of what it means for our minds to be renewed, it's not just that we don't know everything, it's that we are in regular need of our thought process being conformed to the Word of God. We do not naturally see life the way God sees life. We do not naturally think about what it means to walk with Christ the way that He actually lays out for us to do that. And so as learners in humility, we have to come to the Word of God and we have to say, whether we're reading it for ourselves or it's being preached from the pulpit or we're having a conversation with a brother or sister, we have to come to the Word of God and we have to say, Lord, would you teach me? Would you show me where my thoughts are deficient? Would you bless me to be able to realign and to accept what you have to say to me as truth? You know, sometimes that can be, you know, fairly easy, depending on what the topic is. There are times where we receive correction from God's Word, and it's clear to us, it's plain to us. And then there are other times that we hear some instruction from God's Word on a particular topic and we, in our flesh, tend to buck against it. There's something about it that we just do not like. There's something about it that we just have a tendency to resist. And that could be for a couple of reasons. Number one, it could be we're thinking about a preaching of the Word. Could be that someone mishandles the Word. But if we find ourselves in a position to where we're resisting God's Word, and it's not because we have a fuller understanding of Scripture than what's been presented, it's simply because it rubs me the wrong way, then that means God's Word is doing what it's supposed to be doing, right? Gomer needs to learn how to think, right? We're thinking about our message from last week. And unless we're coming into regular contact with God's Word, which is meant to wash, realign, renovate our thoughts and our minds, then we're not going to learn to see things the way God sees them. So, a given, if you're going to grow this year, you're going to have a commitment to being in God's house when it's possible. Now, you know, this year has been our past year has been a spotty year for attendance in many ways due to sickness and those sorts of things. And so there are times where you are sick, you should stay home. Okay. But other than that, probably the bigger issue is, just the priority that the house of God has in your life. We've talked about this before, but you know, when we look at Scripture, many times or a way that Scripture describes the Sabbath, or what we would look at as Sunday, the Lord's Day, right, is the Lord's Day. And I'm afraid in our culture we have replaced, or at least interpreted, the Lord's Day as the Lord's hour and a half. Right? We'll give you a song service if we can make it by 10, although 10's really early. I can't make very many appointments by 10, but I will try to make prayer by 10. If we can make it by 10, we'll pray together. And then, don't mess up my Sunday afternoons. Don't mess them up. I've given the Lord His hour and a half. Okay, so if we think about a desire to grow, and we think about what it means to be in contact with God, I'm sorry, to be conformed in our thinking to God and to His Word, then when we are meeting together and the Word of God is being prayed through, as we're singing together, as the Word of God is being preached, it's going to be a priority in your life. If you can avoid any other providential hindrances, you will be here. Think about the word here in John chapter 15. Abide. Abide. The word there means to endure, means to continue, to remain, to dwell. Just think about the illustration that Christ gives. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And if we are going to bring forth fruit, if we're going to grow, then we are going to dwell or abide, endure in Him. Now, I want you to think about this illustration. Let's say that Abby and I decided that for 2021 we were gonna grow an apple tree in our yard, and so we're hoping. I don't know anything about growing trees, but I don't think I would get apples this year. So we're hoping at some point it's going to be fruitful enough for us to be able to get an apple or two from that. And so our plan is, on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, we're going to plant that tree. We're going to water it. We're going to fertilize it. And then Sunday afternoons, about 3 o'clock, we're going to take it out of the ground and put it in the shed. And then next Sunday, we'll come back and plant it at 9 again. We'll fertilize it. We'll water it, whatever else we could do to it to make it successful. But then, again, every Sunday, around 3, 4 o'clock, we take that thing up and we get it out of the ground. What do you think is going to happen to that tree? How fruitful do you think that tree is going to be? No apples from that tree next year, right? You're not expecting pictures of a humongous tree in my yard. And so whenever we're thinking about abiding in Christ, not only are we thinking about our commitment to being in His house and our commitment to being part of the public worship as we are, again, corporately praying, as we're singing praises to the Lord together, and as we are sitting under the preached word. But if we're going to abide in Christ, that also means that throughout the week we are going to be involved in and committed to spiritual disciplines. We're going to have some kind of a systematic reading of God's Word. Whether that's going to be a read the Bible in a year, whether that's going to be a particular study on a certain area of Scripture or a certain topic in Scripture, at some level you are personally going to have to be in the Word if we're going to abide in Christ and if we're going to be fruitful. So what's that going to require? Well, number one, that's going to require some sort of a plan, some sort of a routine plan. So we're several days into 2021. This is not a question for you to answer out loud. But do you have any sort of Scripture reading goals for 2021? I know some of you do. But if you're planning on and you want to grow this year, then that's something you're going to have to make. You want to know why? Because even the best of us are inconsistent without a plan. Even the best of us are inconsistent when we're not intentional. I wonder what attendance would be like if we changed up what time, what day of the week we were going to have services. What if in January, the first Sunday of the month, we were going to meet at normal time, right? 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Second Sunday of the month, we decided we might knock it back to 6:30 p.m., enjoy a p.m. service together. Third Sunday, we figured we might hit 2 o'clock. And then fourth Sunday, just to change it up a little more, we would start meeting at, or we would have our meeting at 7 a.m. How consistent do you think attendance would be? It wouldn't be. There's no way it would be. Because we function as creatures of habit, and we function well as we intentionally plan out what we are going to do. So if you do not have a plan for scripture reading this year, if you look out on the rack with the pamphlets, we still have a few of these out there. This Bible reading plan, it can either be a 2-year or a 1-year. And really, the helpful side of this Bible reading plan is if you get the app, and it comes with good study questions and those kinds of things. But brothers and sisters, you need to be intentionally in the Word, and you need to know today what you're going to be reading tomorrow if you're going to grow. Okay? So that's an area, what it means to abide in Christ. What else? Well, as we mention regularly, as we're thinking about what it means to grow and what it means to, or what is necessary for growth, is that as we're in the Word, we also need to make sure that we're approaching that in a way that is humble and dependent. So what is our goal as we're in God's Word? Well, there are times where we can make it our goal just to gather more information, and that's a fine goal, at least at some level. The reality is, if we're going to think the way that God thinks, then our minds are going to have to be renewed, and part of that renewal is going to be the information that we're receiving. But God's plan for us, and if we think about growth in general, God's plan is not just that He would stuff our heads full of information, but it's that He would bring about transformation in our hearts and lives. And the way that happens is not just as we read, but as we interact with the Word. So maybe this afternoon you go home and you're reading John chapter 15, and you're convicted that maybe you don't have, you know, maybe you don't have a plan for Bible reading, or maybe you do have a plan, but you had one last year and it didn't work out so hot. You only made it a few days in and it just trailed off. Well, brothers and sisters, as we think about abiding in Christ, and we're reminded again and again that we are completely dependent upon Him for even the best laid plans, then we realize that daily we need to be bathing those goals in prayer. So things like, Father, would you bless me as I'm in your Word? Would you bless me to be able to see those areas in my life where repentance needs to take place? Would you bless me to recognize those promises in your Word that I need for the strength and encouragement to make it through the day? Lord, would you bless me with your Spirit so that the words would come alive and that I wouldn't spend all week being bored while I read your Word? You see, we're completely dependent, aren't we? Not just, again, not just from the standpoint of I want to read in a way that is captivating, I want to read in a way that is exciting, although we are there for that. When's the last time you were energized after you read Leviticus? It's hard, right? And the truth is, we can struggle just as much in any other book in Scripture. And so, again, we want those times with the Lord in His Word, to be bathed in prayer so that He can be accomplishing in us the transformation that brings about fruitful lives. When we think about this from the text in John chapter 15, in John chapter 15, verse 3, He says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." Here in John 15:3, we get a particular word used here as a contrast in this chapter, a particular word when He says, "You are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And the word is one that's familiar to you. It's the word logos. Okay, it's a word that just in its rawest form, it just means a collective expression of one's mind. Jesus is telling His disciples here, you are clean through the word or through the teaching that you've received from me. The Lord has already been using that to grow you. He's already been using that to make you fruitful. He's already been using that to make you more like me. We've already said this, but in Mark chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus was wont to teach. The disciples sat under lots and lots of His teaching. And so one of the things that we can gather from that is that, you know, there are times where just being in the right place at the right time, hence going back to what we talked about as far as being committed to being in the house of God when the house of God is open, there are times where if we are in the right place at the right time and we are regularly putting ourselves in a position to receive the teaching, we are just going to grow. Okay, it's going to be growth that might go undetected as far as it might fly under our radar. It may not be completely apparent to us that this is happening. But as we are under the sound of His Word and the Father is using that Word to cleanse us, then the collective expressions that we find of His teaching are going to be at work in us through the Father. The vine dresser is at work in our lives through that word. But then we find another Greek word in verse 7. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's a different word in the Greek, and it's a word rhema. And it means a specific utterance, a definite expression. Look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. As Jesus is led into the wilderness, as He is tempted by Satan, in verse 4, it says, "But He answered, and He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, that man shall not live alone, but off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What happens here in this scene? Well, what happens is Jesus meets a specific temptation with a specific word from God. Satan is tempting Him, and He's not just thinking in a collective general expression about what God's word says, but Jesus Christ is retrieving the right word for the right time, and He's fighting Satan and his temptations, not in His own strength, not in His own logic, not in His own self-sufficiency, but in a specific word from God. And you see throughout this temptation in the wilderness that Jesus does this again and again and again and again. And so, brothers and sisters, as we think about what it means to abide in Christ, as we are under the sound of the preached word, as we are regularly in God's word on our own, in our own public, in our own private devotional times with God, we are reading. And as we're reading, we are trying to meditate on what God is showing us as we're learning. The vine dresser, the Father, is using that word to cleanse us, to grow us. But as we're doing that, we also need to be taking note. We also need to be aware of this reality that not only will the word be influential in our lives in a general sense, but it's meant to be used specifically for the specific trials, struggles, and temptations that we're going to face on a regular basis. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, talks about the word of God being the sword of the Spirit. Same Greek word here, rhema. Okay. Now, actually, the sword there is not really what we would think of when we think about a sword. It's a dagger. Maybe a little longer than a dagger, but it was meant for close quarter combat. It was not anything that you could just swing and hope that you hit something. It was a weapon that had to be used in a precise way. And so as we think about abiding in Christ, we are growing as we are putting ourselves under the sound of the preached word, as we are in God's word on a day-to-day basis, and then as we are learning to grow in our skill of using the sword of the Spirit. So what would that look like? Well, maybe one of your temptations, one of the things that you struggle with on a regular basis is your mouth, right? You just can't control your mouth, or you end up popping off when you don't mean to pop off, and you offend people, and you don't really plan to do that. It just happens. Well, you know, you could get a whole lot of good material. You could sharpen your sword of the Spirit in that area by doing just a fairly quick study through the book of Proverbs on what does Proverbs have to say about the way I use my mouth. Starting with something like Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. Maybe one of your problems is, one of your struggles is, you just get excitable, you get loud, you start yelling before you know it. Well, you know, that's called a temptation. And whether or not we're able to detect it all, before we ever sin against God and sin against others, we're tempted to do so. And as we're tempted to do so and we buy into that because our mind is not thinking, we aren't thinking biblically about how to respond to temptation, then that leads to the fruit. But if that were my struggle, what a difference do you think it would make if I spent the next month trying to meditate on, memorize, be aware of? Soft answer turns away wrath. Soft answer turns away wrath. Seeing how all that, how that might apply to me and my situation. Now, we could go and talk about all kinds of different scenarios. Maybe you're, if we were to get a little further here, maybe one of your struggles that you want to overcome is lust. Maybe you've dabbled in pornography this year and you want to break free from that. Okay, Scripture is pretty powerful in that area. God has a word for you in that area. And that's not a battle that you're going to fight just by generally trying to read and not zeroing in on what it is that God has to say to you in that specific area. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in us. Notice, and you as you read the Gospels, you'll notice this, that Christ is the perfect example of the one whose functions as God's Word abiding in him. Notice how many times he says, "Have you not read? Did Moses not command you? As it is written." You know, a lot of times we think, I'm afraid we think anyway, that Jesus just was born a man that had God's Word downloaded into his brain. You know, that's not true. He learned just like you learn. He grew just like we grow. Now, it was God in the flesh, all that's true. But he had the same human limitations that we did as a man. And the commitment that Christ had and the reason that he could answer and he could think in such a biblically saturated way was because he applied himself in that area and grew in those areas. Now let's think about Psalm 1 as it relates to John 15. Psalm 1 as it relates to John 15. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and I in you." Now let's think about that from Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, we see some parallels in Psalm 1 to what we were talking about in John 15. Number one, we find that a tree here is planted, right? It's abiding. It's enduring. It's planted by the rivers of water. That's a source of nourishment there. And then fruit is being produced. Now, think about this from just a natural standpoint. Think about this from the tree's perspective. If we were to plant a tree in just the right spot, right? You plant a tree by the rivers of water where nourishment is continually being absorbed and had. How much effort does that tree put into growth? How anxious is that tree about growth? And we're kind of being funny here as we say that. But you realize the tree doesn't grow because the tree is thinking to itself, "Come on, grow, 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 grow. Grow, grow, grow." That's not what happens. You wonder why the tree grows? Because it's being nourished. The nourishment is continually being absorbed in that tree. And then that tree, through that nourishment, brings forth fruit. And again, while I'm not advocating that there's a sense of passivity when it comes to spiritual growth, I am saying that you have to be planted in the right spot if growth is going to take place. And what I mean when I say that is, again, what we mentioned earlier, we have got to have our commitments to where we are regularly under the sound of the preached and the taught word. We have got to be in the word at home in a planned, systematic way. And then the other thing that I would apply to that, as far as growth occurs, or a growth occurring, is that as we are being nourished by the Word, then we have a desire to help nourish others through the Word as well. You know, in Psalm 1, when it talks about the man who is, or man or woman who is meditating on the Word of God day and night, and that's his delight. This individual has the Word of God in their hearts and in their minds. They are being fed from it. And so as we think about abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word, as we think about what it would mean for us to encourage one another, and abiding in Christ and abiding in His Word. As we meditate on and find help from God's Word, then we ought to look for opportunities to share that. We ought to look for opportunities to encourage one another in that. We ought to look for opportunities to try to fuel that excitement, fuel that enjoyment in the brothers and sisters that Christ has given us, not just in the body here, but those that you see on a regular basis. So Jesus says, abide in me. My words will abide in you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. And so what are your plans for growth this year? What are your plans for growth this year? What do you plan for your commitment to be to God's house? Where will it land on the list of your priorities? What will your commitment be as it relates to you being in God's Word? Do you have a plan for that? Do you have a systematic way to tackle the Word and to be able to commune with the Lord through that? Well, what I would like for us to do this afternoon, and I'd like for you to be thinking about this because I want you to participate, I'd like for us to receive mutual encouragement with one another, through one another, as we think through a few of these things. And so over lunch, I would encourage you to discuss and maybe be thinking through, what are some of the habits that you have found helpful in your own spiritual growth? What are some of the habits that you've found helpful in your own spiritual growth? I realize that there are some people who don't grow because they are just spiritually lazy, but I also know there are some people who struggle with growth because they just don't know in some areas. And the Lord has blessed us with a body of mature believers here, and I would encourage you to be willing to discuss that, share that. Secondly, what are some of the struggles that you face in your own spiritual growth, or at least in your own strategies to grow? What are some of the struggles you've faced over the years when it comes to being in the Word, when it comes to consistent time in prayer, when it comes to consistent attendance, when it comes to the house of God? And then last, where do you hope to focus on this year as far as your spiritual growth? What goals do you have? If you don't have any, maybe you can think of some during lunch. Okay? If you don't have any goals when it comes to growth, it's very unlikely that you're going to experience a lot of that this year anyway. We need to be intentional. And many times, just hearing what other people's goals are, just hearing where you're focused and maybe how you plan on tackling that, can be edifying to the rest of us, in a sense of not just giving us new ideas, but also giving us new strategies for hitting that. Here's the truth, something that we ought to recognize and be comfortable admitting, that while we're all on different, maybe I'll say it this way, while we're all in different areas of spiritual maturity and different intensities as far as our pursuit of growth, the truth is, at best in 2021, we will all struggle to serve the Lord. Okay? Some of us will do that thinking we're the only ones in the body who struggle. And we'll give up and we'll quit early on. Others of us will do that realizing that spiritual growth is always going to be a struggle in a fallen world. And we will find encouragement through others. We will find encouragement through the Word. And so if you're one of those who through the years have embraced the reality that spiritual growth is going to be a struggle, then I would encourage you to be thinking about how this afternoon you might be able to encourage those who have found it to be true but are embarrassed about it maybe and have kept it to themselves up to this point. One of the reasons that the Lord has put us together in this body is that we might help one another as we collectively seek to abide in Christ. As we seek to be faithful to Him, to His house, to His Word. As we seek to go to His throne of grace again and again and again and again for our real help in time of our real need. And so, brothers and sisters, as I think about the prospects of growth in 2021, I'm hopeful, I'm thankful for the faithful Savior that we have, for the faithful vine dresser that will continue to produce fruitfulness in His people. But I'm also thankful to be able to walk through this year with you, anticipating the help and spiritual encouragement that I will be able to receive from you because of the gift that Christ has given you for the edification of this body. And so may God bless us to be faithful this year as we seek to abide in Him. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that we can come to another year and we can expect, we can be hopeful that spiritual growth in us can take place. Father, we come to you as a people who have really nothing to brag about. As was mentioned earlier, we come to you as a group of people who have struggled our way through over the years. And yet we have found you to be faithful. We found you to be faithful to bless us to grow, to strengthen our commitments, to bless our efforts. And so as we enter 2021 from a spiritual standpoint, we enter that with the same confidence, Lord, that you'll continue to complete your work in each one of us. And so, Father, for those who have not yet professed faith in Christ, I pray that you would bless them to consider the question, what is holding them back from following you this year? Father, as we pray this morning, we pray for conversions this year. We pray that you would bless your Spirit to make dead hearts live in our congregation. And then, Father, we also pray for spiritual growth, that you would bless us, Lord, to rely on you and on your Spirit and on your Word, but that we would also be committed to the means that you've laid out in Scripture for our growth. We pray all this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.